name is Mickey Kashtan. Welcome to the Conflict Hotline. Today with me are Jared and Carrie. And together we're going to work with various situations related to the theme of today, which is Mother's Day. And you can participate by calling. And we'll do various role plays, such as this one that we call But You Have to Come. And that features Sarah, who's going to be played by Carrie, and Matthew, who's going to be played by Jared. They are brother and sister, as will become apparent.
So you have to come. You just have to.
Sarah, it's like every year you invite me to have Mother's Day celebrations with Mom. I sit around the table. She dotes on you and picks on me all evening. And this year, I'm not coming.
I don't know how you can say that. All Mom does is sing your praises.
Mom does not sing my praises.
Absolutely she sings your praises.
Mom sings your praises.
No.
Yes.
No. I can't believe you even say that. And it's like, even if it were true, the point is it's Mother's Day. She needs to
have
us both there.
Have we had a dinner with Mom for Mother's Day once in the last 15 years that didn't end in a fight?
Thank you. Something like this must have happened in your life. And this program, the purpose of this program is to give you some inspiration, tools, skills, ideas for how you can work out situations such as this. And the topic, again, is Mother's Day. And we have a special connection with this topic based on the history of Mother's Day, little known history. It was started by Julia Ward Howe in the 1880s. And it started with a peace proclamation inviting all mothers to march for peace because mothers are the ones sending their children to war. And so since we are working to propose that it's possible to have alternative ways of resolving conflicts at all levels, that's the connection that we have. And if you would like to participate, you can call us today. The number is 510-433-0700. And you can bring situations from your life, any situation, in particular, situations related to Mother's Day, such as?
Conflicts between your mother and you and your significant other.
Or?
Oh, a conflict you have with one of your siblings about your mom.
Yeah, and also anything, any conflict that you have directly with your mother, or if you are a mother and want some support with how to relate to other people. So let's go back to the situation that we just faced and let's see what we can do with it. And let me start by saying that what I see here is very typical. Neither one of you is particularly listening to the other. And the transformation, more often than not, happens when one party is able to open the heart to the other party. So I am curious which one of you would like to try that. Because any situation can be transformed from either side. It doesn't really matter. All it takes is somebody to wake up to the possibility of connection.
Well, I could try.
You could try. So before you even talk to him, tell me what you understand of what's going on for him that makes it so hard for him to choose to come.
Well, I'm thinking. It sounds like it's really painful for him to be there.
Yes.
It sounds like it's really painful for him and that he's...
Do you have a sense of why it's so painful?
Well, it sounds like he's wanting some acceptance and some belonging, a sense of belonging and acceptance from Mom.
Great. So those are the words. And now about the heart. Can you imagine what it's like for him?
Well, it's a little hard because I...
Because you disagree with him.
Because I see it differently.
So this is one of the key things, is we often try to talk people out of their feelings by telling them that their story about what's going on is not true. And what ends up happening, because no one that I've ever met changes their mind about their experience just because somebody else has a different experience. Has that ever happened to you?
If it has, I'm not remembering right now.
Yeah. And so what ends up happening is the person then has the double pain. First they have the pain of the situation, then they have the pain of being all alone, having that experience when everybody else, in this case you, is thinking it's not true. So the way to open your heart is to completely let go of what is really true. It doesn't matter what is true. What it matters is, here is your brother, and he's sitting there having that experience. Can you imagine what that is like for him?
Well, I'm going to try and imagine it was me sitting there. And
try to imagine you're there.
And it's the
and
other
mom
way.
Is, and it's the other
the
way
around. It's the other way around. And mom is saying all these wonderful things about him, about me, and or about him. And I am.
And from your perspective, picking on you.
Yeah. And she is really kind of praising her to make me feel bad about who I am. It's her way of saying, and
so
you're not okay.
Okay, so you got the story. Can you imagine how painful that is?
I don't think I can totally get there, but I'm getting there some.
Great. That will be enough, because he's going to say the same thing, and I'm hoping that you will be able to respond in a different way by showing understanding instead of arguing with him. Ready to try?
All right.
Sarah, I'm not coming to the Mother's Day dinner this year. I've really had enough of it. Last year was the final straw. I'm not going to sit around and just listen to Mom pick on me and praise you all evening.
So it sounds like last year was just a really awful year for you.
Every year was awful. Last year was the straw that broke the camel's back.
So every year was really bad, and then last year was like the topper. It was the worst.
Yes.
And the thought of putting yourself in that situation is just like more painful than you just more painful than you can even think about doing.
I'm not going.
So, thank you. I'm curious what it was like for you to have her respond in this way instead of arguing with you.
It was nicer, the words were nicer, and I was waiting for the axe to fall. I was waiting for the butt, and then her agenda to come back at me and tell me I should come to dinner.
Reminds me of something that I heard from someone once, that it's not just one time hearing the other person. It's hearing the other person and hearing the other person again and hearing again before there is that kind of relaxation.
Yeah.
So the last thing he said is, yep, I'm not coming.
Yeah. So it sounds pretty clear to me. It sounds like you are really clear you're not coming.
Yes. Yes.
And so instead of reflecting what he's going to do or not going to do, hear the pain in that.
So it sounds like you're just in a huge amount of pain about this and really kind of, I don't know, I'm guessing in a way you're kind of stealing yourself because you don't want me to convince you to do something
that's
really going to be painful for you.
You first of all, you can't convince me, and secondly, yes, I'm in a lot of pain about it, and last year was the final straw. And I'm sorry that this is about you. Like, I'm hearing your care right now. It's not about you, Sarah. It's not, you know, I love you, you love me, we're fine. It's Mom. I don't want to deal with Mom. Tell her happy Mother's Day for me.
So I'm getting, so it's like I'm hearing that you're saying that we're okay and you're kind of sorry that I'm
sorry, it's coming to this. I'm sorry, yeah. You're the advocate. Like, I'm hearing your care. I'm getting you want me there. And it's not about you. It's about Mom. And I'm done.
Thank you. Just want you to notice, this was spontaneous. It would never have come up in the previous kind of interaction, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because in the previous interaction, while she was arguing with you, she was the enemy.
Right.
and now she isn't.
Yeah, I'm really sensing a lot of care from her right now.
Yeah.
And that's giving me clarity. It's not about you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that makes it easier to be here.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as he said, you know, I know it's not about us, I relaxed a lot.
Great.
Because before it was like, oh no, I've got this situation with Mom and Mother's Day, and now he's upset with me.
Yeah.
So I'm doubly in trouble.
Okay. So what I want you all to think about is there a way to join forces in solving this problem rather than be in two separate positions? Is there anything that can make this work for both of you? Think about it while we take a break. And when we come back, we'll see if there's a solution that we can arrive at. And here we are with Matthew, played by Jared, and Sarah, played by Carrie. They're brother and sister.
Mm-hmm.
And we are looking to see if there is anything that can support both of you in getting to a place that will work for both of you. Have either of you come up with any ideas?
Well, I'm just wondering if you did come, is there anything that I could do to support you that would make it tolerable or pleasant?
If there is something, I don't know. I can't think of something. If you have an idea, I'd be happy to hear it, but I don't have an idea.
Well, I was thinking maybe if instead of getting together for dinner the way we always do, what if we did something entirely different, some kind of activity where we were actually doing something together instead of sitting around talking? Maybe if we, you know, actually actively physically participated in something.
It's a sweet idea. It could work. The issue is more about how Mom talks to me and talks to you. So I don't know how that would prevent that.
So the question, what I'm sensing, is that you are willing to consider options now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to consider options, and I'm feeling touched by Sarah's offer to work on this, and so
yeah.
I feel like maybe there's some I have some support in her presence, and I'm feeling kind of stuck and not knowing exactly what to do that would make it better.
So I'm wondering, in the moments when Mom speaks to you in ways that you don't like, is there any way in which you feel alone, like in that moment, that Sarah doesn't get it?
Yeah, every time.
Every time?
Every time.
So is there anything that could happen in the moment where you could rally her for support? Because that's the way to break through the habit and the pattern. She could be your supporter instead of the symbol of your anguish.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that sounds good. I guess now I'm really concerned that this is Mother's Day, and we're supposed to be celebrating Mom, and if suddenly I'm turning to Sarah and asking her to support me in issues I have with Mom, I'm worried about another fight. We have fights every single year at our Mother's Day get-together.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if this is the meal or the evening for inviting that kind of support.
So great. What I am seeing is some kind of a convergence. We're not here to come up with this solution, because this solution is not what we are about. What we are about is the process of how you can get there. And my sense is that you have enough goodwill between the two of you that you can come up with something, because you're concerned about Mom and you're concerned about him. And previously, you were concerned about yourself and you were concerned about Mom.
Mm-hmm.
So you're now
mm-hmm.
holding both of those concerns together.
Mm-hmm.
And I am hoping that you will resolve it quickly enough before you become Jared and Carrie again. So I'm wondering if there's anything else either of you wants to say by way of what stands out to you, what you've learned from this situation before we transition to another scenario.
I mean, this was really, really helpful for me. The one piece I think we didn't get to that I imagine I would have wanted to go to next is getting some sense if what her experience was in those moments where I experienced being picked on. Like if there was actually a compassion or awareness of things that mom was saying that was stimulating for me.
Yeah.
But I felt more hopeful that we would find some shared reality around that.
Mm-hmm.
This was helpful. I liked the seeing her as an advocate and not as an obstacle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is the thing that you can do in these kinds of situations is change the you know kind of like the stuck roles that you play in a familiar situation. You change the pattern, you change the habit, and the nature of the relationship shifts as a result. How about you? Is there anything, any insight that you got from it?
Well, I think the part that that really struck me this time was how the trust has to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing started to shift. And I mean, things maybe shifted a tiny bit, but there really wasn't much movement until there was some trust.
Yep.
And I'm guessing that especially when it's cyclical, you've been round and round about the same issue, or if it's an issue that somebody's been round around a lot with other people in their life, even if it's not you, that getting to that trust is going to be really critical.
I am really appreciating this because the trust is about the quality of the relationship. And when you have the quality of the relationship, the issue itself becomes smaller. The content is easier to resolve once the foundation of the relationship is in place. Mm-hmm. So thank you. Yeah. And now we're going to move to an entirely different scenario in which it's called You're Suffocating Me. And Jared is going to play Jeff, who is visiting from college.
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie's going to play mom.
I'm mom again. So I can't believe you're leaving. You've been here a whole week. I've hardly seen you. Where are you going?
I'm visiting some friends, you know, friends who are back from school. I haven't seen in a while. We're gonna go catch a movie or something.
Yeah, but you're leaving on Sunday and I've barely seen you. You've just been using the house like a little crush pad.
Yeah, well, I've been busy. I'm back from break and there's a lot of people to see. I've been away for a while. Everyone's been away. There's a lot of catching up to do.
I know, but you know, this is your home. I'm your mother. This is where you live. I really had imagined that we would at least spend a little time together before you left.
Mom, I'm just back for a week and there's a lot of people in my life I want to see. I want to see you. I've seen you a lot. We talk on the phone a lot, but I don't understand.
I have a sense that each of you have said the same thing about three times. Did you notice that? Has it gotten you any closer to getting what you want?
Not really.
Do you have
it's not that easy to move.
Do you have a sense that by continuing to say it, you increase or decrease the chances that he's going to want to be home?
I think every time I say it, he's inching closer to the door.
Uh-huh.
I'm like,
isn't it amazing you know it and you still do it?
Yeah.
How about you?
About louder.
Louder, yes. Whenever somebody says something that is not aligned with what we want, and we think if we only say it one more time, they'll get it, we turn up the volume. And if we weren't heard before, we're going to be less heard now.
Yeah.
What about you? How many times?
Well, I was getting more impatient and baffled and confused and rising hostility as I was being asked the same question over and over again. I was ready to go, so yeah.
Yeah, so it wasn't going anywhere and it was going there.
It was a train wreck in the mm-hmm. coming, yeah.
Yeah. So, question is, are you ready to listen to mom?
I thought I heard mom.
What did you hear?
She wants me to stick around more and spend some more time with her.
Mm-hmm. And you're saying this with about as much compassion as one would have for a dental appointment.
Maybe less. Well, I'm not. I heard her. I just didn't move me.
So you didn't hear her.
I heard her words.
Yeah. So the question is, are you ready to open your heart to what's going on inside this woman's heart?
Yeah. I'm guessing that the mom is happy that I'm home and wants to have some connection, wants to spend some time with me, wants to, you know, have her needs for a substance, some substance, some substantial time with me, quality of time with me. And she's surprised. Are you surprised that the whole week has flown by and we haven't had time together?
Yes. Because partly I'm wanting some appreciation. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm the one who's paying the bills for you to go to school, and I'm the one who's worked hard so that you could have this great experience out in the world.
So my aggression is going right up right now. I feel it rising.
And I'll tell you,
because I didn't ask for those things. I didn't want those things. I'm sure I appreciate them, but if I'm going to be beholden to you for them, then keep them.
Every time we justify what we want, we get a reduction in the other person's goodwill. As soon as we let anybody else think that we deserve something, they want to give it to us less. Did you notice that?
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to reach his heart when you express yourself, dig deeper. Underneath the, you know, I pay the bills and all of that, what is this really about? What's really going on there?
You know, it's just such a dynamic time in his life. He's like growing and changing so fast that it's such a fleeting time. I want to connect with him because I know each time he comes home, he's going to be in a really different place.
Okay, so let's pause. Was that easier to hear?
Yeah. Then certainly than what she was saying before. Much.
Than paying the bills?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I get a sense, you know, first of all, once we go through this layer, I'm imagining that there is something underneath where you don't really want to spend a whole lot of time with her. It's not just that you have friends.
Yeah, well, if I was going to drop into that same real honest place, I've been really enjoying being away at school and the amount of freedom that I've never had before. And so coming back home, you know, I want to spend time out of the house with my friends where I can continue to kind of live in this real spontaneous freedom and being just the way I want to be. And there's a long history of me kind of being mom's son and having to be really respectful and live up to every one of her expectations. And when she started to tell me about how much I owe her for school, that brought all that up. So I'm not knowing how to renegotiate our relationship that continues to let me experience and enjoy the freedom I'm having and also meet your needs for connection and quality time with me.
Great. So was that hard to hear?
No, not so much, really.
You get it.
Well, I was that age once. Mm-hmm. I went away to school.
Wow, just hearing that is actually a powerful reminder of your humanity.
Yes, she's not just mother. She's actually mother. A human being.
Right. Wow.
That's why I know how fleeting it is and how quickly everything changes.
Mm-hmm.
I want to reemphasize that it was really sweet to hear you say this reminder that you're not just mom, that you're a human being, and that you were my age once. It somehow gets lost in the way we were talking before.
So the question is, how do we, if we have a long-standing dynamic, we need to take small steps in order to change it. So what would you like from mom that if she could give it to you, you would feel happier to hang out with her?
One thing that comes to mind is that I would love to go have dinner with you. And even though I'm 20 years old, I'd like to, you know, have a beer with dinner without hearing it from you.
I guess that beer would be a symbol.
Huge symbol.
Of that sense of freedom.
Yeah.
I'm an adult and I want respect for my autonomy.
Yeah. Yeah. and a little bit of transparency. You know, I'm 20 years old, and when I'm away from you at school, you know, sometimes we drink.
So, are you wanting a response from me, or
I'd like you to talk.
Okay. So, you're saying that enjoy going out to dinner with me, mm-hmm. and you, if you're moved to have a beer while we're out, you want to let me know that you'd like to have the, you know, you don't even want to ask for permission or look to me and worry about me judging you for doing
that's
that.
That's the part. I want you to accept that and not comment on it and not make a big deal about it. And in fact, maybe even celebrate it a little bit.
And no eyebrows raising or anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, she knows what she does that gets on your nerves. Did you notice?
I did. I'm glad you pointed it out, but I know. Yeah, I did notice.
So I think I could do that. I think I could do that. I would enjoy having the opportunity to try. Mm-hmm. And I will try to control my eyebrows.
That would be huge. That would be a small but big step for me. It was symbolic, I think. That's really you put your finger on it.
And what I'm noticing is just how powerful it is to translate, you know, the big deal into very concrete small step. And so we're going to take a break now. And during the break, I want to see kind of like rewind, because I said earlier that both parties to a conflict can transform it. I want to see if you have any small request, as if this one hasn't happened, anything small that Jeff could do that would move things towards the relationship that you'd like to have with him, or anything that you'd like to offer him. Either way, something small that will move the connection forward. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll wrap this up. Hi, welcome back to the Conflict Hotline. Here we are in the middle of Jeff and Mom sorting out Jeff's visit from college. And did you come up with anything?
Well, I was thinking of winding it all the way back to the beginning. Mm-hmm. So instead of like having this as he's trying to get out the door,
yeah.
What I could say is something like, I can tell you're trying to, I get the feeling you're on your way to meet friends. Yeah. And I just am wondering if tomorrow morning, before you leave the house, we could have a short conversation.
What did I do?
You can't change it all at once, you see? Well, I can totally see your intention, and you know what's missing.
Uh-huh.
He does, because you're not saying anything about what the need is, what's really motivating you to have the conversation, he'll hear it through the filter of all the years in which he's heard a constant commentary about how he is.
Okay. So I'm just wondering if we could take a couple minutes just for some connection tomorrow morning before you leave the house.
Connection, like just talking?
Yeah.
Not about anything specific?
No.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Okay.
Breakfast?
Why not?
All right.
Coffee?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Aha, uh-huh, that the coffee is the same symbol as the beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the key here that I got is that the symbolic nature of the freedom that is so important to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the key for you, I have a sense that we didn't quite get to the bottom of it. I want to venture a guess before we close this, which is that there is some sense of loss about having him leave home. Is that true?
Well, I think what was kind of going on with this mom is that because she has some understanding of where he's at, she waited till like practically the day before he left to bring up what she wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And she was trying to give him the space because she wanted to do it, and she didn't quite take care of herself.
Mm-hmm.
So in the end, when it finally came out,
yeah,
it was like that.
Mm.
Anything that stands out to either of you, like an insight that you got from playing this role?
The insight for me is just how much the history informs things that seem on the surface, you know, so minor, but it adds up over time, the dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you?
And I think for me, with this character, I think she thought she was sort of doing him a favor by giving him all this space and not bringing up what mm-hmm. was important to her. And so that by the time it came up, it was kind of explosive in her. Mm-hmm. And so I, for me, it's about kind of letting someone know what's important to you earlier than that.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm appreciating these insights, especially the one about the history, because we're now going to take another short break. And when we come back, we will have a special guest to talk with us about how to change that history from the start. Mm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Welcome back to the Conflict Hotline. I would like to invite you again to call us and participate in this show. My name is Miki Kasztan. The phone number to call is 510-433-0700. And I want to introduce you to my sister, Arnina Kasztan, who is visiting from Israel.
Hi.
And who works a lot with parents in Israel. Mm-hmm. And one of the nice things about Israel is that things are much more on the surface. So you get to learn very quickly what is going on.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe you could talk to us a little bit about what is it that mothers can do earlier on in life of their children to prevent this kind of very painful dynamic from happening.
Yeah, I think it, as goes the premise of NVC, the more we are aware to our needs, of our needs, and connected to them, mm-hmm. and expressing them, as we saw as in, mm-hmm. in the last example, that she was holding back, mm-hmm. back, and then it explodes. So I think there is one layer that I've seen a lot with parents, that when they become aware that what moves them is such and such need, for example, protecting their children, mm-hmm. giving them the best they can, mm-hmm. preparing them to life, mm-hmm. really contributing. It all comes from a deep sense of love, but it gets distorted in the way, in the how they do it. Mm-hmm. So first of all is really get aware of what's going on inside of me. Mm-hmm. What is important to me? Mm-hmm. Then express it. Then hear the other side and choose together how what I want to happen can work for you if we talk about it. Mm-hmm. And that can happen at a very early age. Mm-hmm. Actually, yesterday, I was in a workshop here. There was this mom of an 8-year-old, and she's still taking him to the bus station to be taken to school. And he sits there and he says, "Mom, don't talk to me. Mm-hmm. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to me." And mm-hmm. she says, "So you don't want me to talk to you?" So he's trying to be empathetic with him. And there is no real agreement between them that she is willing to respect his growing sense of freedom. Mm-hmm. So it's the same issue. It's really the same issue, just a different age, and can be stopped right there. Mm-hmm. So what we did is that she realized that her need is the connection with him. Mm-hmm. So the problem was how she was asking for it. She was asking for it in the moment that he was asking not to be mm-hmm.
yeah.
talked to. Because she so much wants to, and he doesn't let them, she and her husband, they cannot even touch the boy anymore. 8 years old, okay? Mm-hmm. A year ago, they could hug him every moment. So now, if she really stays in the understanding that the form her love can come out is changing, but not the love itself. Mm-hmm. This is so opening. She doesn't lose anything. She loses, yes, the how. But she doesn't lose the connection that is so precious to her. If she hears that what he wants is not in conflict with what she wants, but with the how she wants mm-hmm. to do it.
So it's the old difference between strategy and need.
Yeah.
So at the level of need, mm-hmm. there's no conflict between his freedom and her connection.
No. No, it's just the sadness of separation from the old historical strategy. Mm-hmm. That one I have to let go of. But it's just a strategy. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is a mourning. I mean, because touching and hugging is not the same as talking or not talking. Mm-hmm. It's not the same.
Yeah.
But if she stays connected to the river that is connecting them underneath all this, the loss is less.
So what you're saying is one key tip. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to see if we can maybe come up with like three tips. The first tip is to be attentive to the unfolding of autonomy.
Yeah, in the other side.
In the side of the child. Mm-hmm. And reorient as the child grows, knowing that the underlying connection can stay intact. It's just the form and the how that changes. Mm-hmm. So that's one tip.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the biggest one. Another one is to take the time to mourn. Mm-hmm. Because there is a loss. There is a loss. I mean, the one that was so close here grows further and further away. College doesn't have to be the last point. Mm-hmm. He can move away very far and not come back for a week. Mm-hmm. And this keeps changing. This mother was aware of that. And there is a sense of losing the sweetness of the very private connection that was there. Mm-hmm. So I really want parents to honor and sense that and be with that and then let go.
Mm-hmm. And then if you do it as the child grows, when they leave home, it's just one more step. It's not one more in an ongoing series of fights. It's one more step in a natural process mm-hmm. of letting go mm-hmm. and mourning.
Yeah.
And then you can actually have more connection with them when they're an
yes,
adult.
Yes, that's what they find out. When they do it, actually, it does work for them. It does work. It's painful in the beginning, and then something else opens up.
Because it gives more room for the child to want connection.
Yeah. And then another point to learn is not to put it on them. Mm-hmm. Because like this mother, again, she realized that if she puts it in this way, he closes up. Mm-hmm. Or if she says, but I really, this 8-year-old mom, but I really want to connect with you, like in this insisting, pushing way, he closes down. Mm-hmm. So this is a work to be done away from the relationship mm-hmm. and bring the understanding of the empathy to the other side, to the relationship. Then at some other point, when they gain the trust that you mentioned before, the trust that she really hears him, that mm-hmm. she really hears him, not as a trick to gain his attention, then she can say, you know, I'm sad that this has changed. It's not about not saying anything.
Yeah.
It's about when and how again.
Yeah. And it's also, I'm hearing, it's about the connection being a need and a desire rather than a demand.
Yes, because if I leave the need as an ongoing vibration in me and not as a solid thing that has to happen a certain way, there is always an opening for another option how to fulfill it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think I also got to the last tip because you said it right at the beginning and also Carrie gave it to us earlier. Mm-hmm. It's something about being honest about your own needs.
Yeah.
Not losing yourself in the child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, being honest and owning it, mm-hmm. not honest and putting it on the other side. Mm-hmm. It's honest saying and seeing how it affects the other side and have some work done with myself. Doesn't have to be done all with this child. And yes, I want to express myself. Yes.
Yeah, because one of the fallacies of motherhood is that a mother is not supposed to have needs.
Yes, yes. Yeah, so, I mean, this is a great one to discover. That, like he discovered for a moment, oh, she's human.
Yes.
That's another way to discover that we're human. And the earliest it comes, they have more trust in me as a person mm-hmm. and not in me as wanting something from them or sacrificing myself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anything else you want to add before we take a break and then give us all an opportunity to look at a relationship at an earlier time in a kind of like a typical dynamic?
And not at the moment. It might come later.
Okay. So we can take another break and come back for one more scenario.
The skeleton is rotting in the grave, in the clay pot.
Hi. This is the Conflict Hotline again. Welcome back. And we have our final scenario for the day. It's called Don't Make Me. And it features Billy. Jared is going to be Billy. Billy, how old are you?
I believe I'm 11.
And Carrie is once again the mother. We thought of
how
doing
it. I'm getting to be a pro.
Yeah, it didn't look like very opportune to switch roles. And Arnina is still here and will help us, find points. So it's morning, typical parenting challenge time. Mm-hmm. Weekday morning.
Mom, I don't want to go to school.
I can't believe you just said that. We need to walk out the door in 5 minutes. I can't believe you just said you don't want
to
go to school.
Please don't make me go to school. I really don't want to go.
Well, I know you don't want to go, but there aren't really any other options today.
Mom, please, I really, really don't want to go to school. It's boring. The teacher is mean. I don't want to go.
You know, today, you know, we can talk about this on the weekend, but today we just got to go.
Come on, Mom, please. I can't go. I really can't go. Please don't make me. Please.
Honey, it's just...
Thank you. Let's stop. Because I don't think this is going anywhere.
I think I might be going to school reluctantly.
Yeah. So, you know, we know what happens. We talk at each other. Mm-hmm. And here there is, in addition, the power dynamic that is so evident, where you're still young enough where you think she can make you. Mm-hmm. The truth is nobody can make anybody else do anything. And yet parents and children live in a reality in which they both believe that the parent can make the child do something.
Right.
And so I see the progressive helplessness. Mm-hmm. Please don't make me. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, I'm wondering what is happening inside of you as you see that plea. What happens? What exactly happens inside?
Well, a couple things happen. It's not just one thing. On the one hand, I have to get to work.
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't want him to stay home alone. So I don't feel like I have any good choices at this moment. That's part of my pressure. And on the other hand, I do hear his anguish. I am hearing some anguish.
And he doesn't know it.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, because you have a sense that you have no options, the only thing you communicate is that. Mm-hmm. And so he's getting progressively more desperate, mm-hmm, because he's not getting heard. And what happens inside of you as you hear her talk about she has to go to work?
I didn't even hear that. I just heard no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what you're saying is wasted on him. Do you have any suggestions for her?
First question I have not, before I have a suggestion, is have you ever talked about this at some other point in your relationships? I mean, this is not the first time it comes up, does it?
I think I probably haven't, I definitely haven't wanted to go to school in the past, and we've kind of had this dance, and then Mom gets really upset and I end up in the car and,
yeah,
you know.
Because when you say not today, it sounds as if some other day it is possible. Is it possible at all for you? Is it an option that you hold as possible?
Yeah, I think in the way I'm thinking about it is every now and then I'm like willing to give him a free day just to get out of the routine.
Okay,
but I have to plan it.
Okay, but this is then you give up on something. Instead of going with him and understanding what's going for him, and giving him whatever is important for you so that you might find something else that would work without giving up. So what do you care about when you want him to go to school? Why don't you say okay? I mean, let's say he can stay with someone. Why don't you say have an okay inside of you?
Say that again.
Why don't you have an internal okay? What's preventing you from having a yes?
About him staying home,
yeah,
and missing a day of school?
Yeah, as an idea.
As an idea. Well, on the one hand, I understand that it can get to be a bit much day in and day out. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, I really do, long term, if he doesn't go to school, I'm very worried about what his future will be.
Right. And that conversation hasn't happened.
Okay. Yeah.
The conversation in which you really get to hear each other about what your worries are and what his anguish is hasn't happened. And the time to have it is not when you're at the door.
Right.
And this is what we like to call proactive conversations.
And I call it out of the situation. Mm-hmm. Because in here, you forget everything. Even if you learn MVC, you tend to forget. Especially 5 minutes when you have to go out, okay? Another have to. Mm-hmm. But if you have it some other time, then you can really explore what is so precious to you that becomes such a worry for his future that you're willing for his future to give up on the present.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah, so what you can do in the moment is acknowledge. The level, my assessment looking at you from the outside is, although you are stressed and pressured, you have inner resources to draw on as an adult that you can summon up to just give him the acknowledgement and set up another time to talk about it. Can you do that?
Yes, I can try. Should I make a stab at that?
Yeah.
Is that what you're asking?
So say your line again.
Please don't make me go to school, Mom. Please, please, please.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It just kills me to hear you say that. I mean, it just breaks my heart.
It kills you. I'm the one who has to go to school.
Hang on a second. You didn't actually acknowledge?
No, I didn't. I'm
talking
expressing
about you.
I just needed to do that first. I mean, it just breaks my heart when I hear you say that. And I so much want to connect with you around this. And I'm wondering if today, when I'm not trying to get out the door to go to work, if we could talk about this
okay.
when we get home.
Wouldn't it be easier to go to school now?
A little bit, yes.
Because you have some trust that this might happen.
Yeah.
And then it's essential for you to do it, and unfortunately, our time is running out, and we can't have that conversation much as I would like to. The point in that conversation would be to really hear what it is and to be honest with him, both about your worry and about your understanding, so that you don't end up siding with the adults by default. That's a very condensed thing. So let's just see one small thing that stands out to you from the show today, like a nugget that you're taking that really resonates for you from everything.
For me, it goes back to these patterns start so young. Mm-hmm. The dynamics between parents and children and mothers and sons and daughters. And so it's exciting to me to think that rethinking about what it's like when they're young can just create a lot more ease and understanding much later.
How about for you?
Well, it was interesting to me that she, this mom, could call him honey and still totally not hear him.
Yeah.
or she could hear him a little, but he couldn't let him know in any way that she heard him. So in terms of endearment, even within this context of terms of endearment, he still wasn't.
Yeah.
There was no sense from him that he was being heard.
Yeah.
And that's kind of tragic.
This is when fear overtakes love.
Yeah.
And it rules. The honey is not false.
Yeah.
It's true. And then you forget. That's the tragic thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything that stands out for you from having seen us do these role plays? And
how common it's everywhere. We don't need Israel or America to see this. Unfortunately, in the hope that it can be different. Mm-hmm.
And for me, the piece that I am holding with me is the small steps. That especially in these kinds of relationships, there's always history. Because by the time you're conscious, they're already a few years. There's always history and how deeply ingrained the history is and how
you can still create measurable difference by focusing on very, very, very small steps at a time when there is space. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that those small steps create trust.
Yes.
And the trust creates the shift.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's rebuild trust mm-hmm. with our mothers.
And see their great intention. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So let's rebuild trust mm-hmm. with our mothers.
And see their great intention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you were inspired by anything that you saw here today, you can visit our website, www.bayNVC.org, for classes and workshops, various places in the world. And if you live far away where there are no trainers, you can go to nvctraining.com and learn NVC using your phone and computer. And another thing is, we really love to get feedback from you. If you want to send us feedback or any scenarios that you'd like us to work with, we are very happy to receive them. Send them to conflicthotline@baynvc.org. And I would like to express gratitude to Jared, playing multiple roles, and to Carrie, being such a good mother and sister. And to our special guest, Arnina, thank you. And
pleasure.
To the all-volunteer crew that is coming month after month to help us run this show. And I want to end with an invitation to join us again next month, the first Thursday at 7:30. That will be June 3rd. Thank you very much.
I take a deep, dark breath of my fear. Breathe out compassion to myself. I take a deep, dark breath of your fear. Breathe out compassion to you. And the next breath is for all the people who can relate to me and you. You cannot see eye to eye. Won't you step up with me and try? Drop the fences down, find the common ground. Take a deep breath.